time might be not completely tight. Maybe the limbo time is over this region right here. And in this direction, there have been many, many works trying to tackle whether it's possible to find a new Lee Pronson type bound for non prime interactions. Some of these works are here. And in particular, for long range models, the Lee long range models, it has been proven for interactions when alpha is smaller than the dimensionality of the system by Scott et al. Also, it was proven for spin systems, all the type of Lee Pronson type bound for alpha bigger than D by Gong et al. And by Matsuda et al. And it was also proven all the type of bound for alpha bigger than 2 times the dimensionality by Phosphate et al. All these bounds have been proven in the last decade, so this is quite recent. We are going to use one of these bounds to be able to bound our bound to make it as tight as possible. But because the conditions are a bit different, we are actually going to extend it. We are using the bound provided by Phosphate, and we are going to extend it. They prove it for spins, and we are extending this result to fermions and to anticommutative operators. So in a more formal way, we prove that for any two-side long-range interacting and fermion Hamiltonian, and for any two operators that anticommute and are separated by some distance L, the operator norm between the anticommutator is upper bounded by a function of a function with two parts. One exponentially increases in time and exponentially decreases with the distance. Well, okay, I reformulate, but one is kind of short range type, although it's not exactly the same because here we have some events with the time. And the other part decays as a power law with the distance with the interaction exponent alpha. We have some constants like C0, C1, gamma, alpha, all of these constants depend on the Hamiltonian. And gamma in particular depends on the dimensionality and on the interaction exponents. This expression is only valid for alpha bigger than 2D because we are using the phosphate Lee Pronson type bound for this. Which means that we are only considering scenarios where the energy is excess. So by making use of this bound, we are able to bound the correlations, as I explained before, and we obtain that for this type of system, for two-side and long-range interacting fermionic systems, with the interaction exponent bigger and greater than 2B, and at finite temperature, and for any two anticommutative operators A and B separated by some distance L, the correlations are upper bounded by a polynomial function with the interaction exponent that characterizes the interactions in the Hamiltonian. This is a proof for the asymptotics. I just want to remark this, and now I want to explain what I mean by this. So this means that correlations cannot decay slower than this polynomial over here. They can decay exponentially in long range system. I mean, we don't prove that they can't, and we are not proving that. But what I mean is that in principle it's possible to see that they decay exponentially according to our bounds. And they can decay polynomially with an exponent that is greater than alpha, but never, never, never smaller than alpha. And I remark here, this corresponds to a particular class of Hamiltonians. I'm talking about two-side long-range interactive fermionic system, but two local terms are always referring to two sides and not more than two sides. They are not quadratic, they are more generic than quadratic. And in particular, for quadratic, we could even say something even stronger. We can apply this to quadratic models.
And in this case, we can use the weak theory. And this allows to prove that this bound also applies to commuting operators. Therefore, all the correlations in this type of in quadratic Hamiltonians decay as a power law, are upper bounded by a power law decay with the interaction exponent. And in particular, for density-density correlations, which are very used in experiments, for example, this implies that the correlations are upper bounded by a function that decays polynomially with 2 times the interaction exponent. So this together with the previous slide are our main analytical results. Do you have any question from here on?
But maybe you can talk about this, but the information bound you derive, is it, so now it's like, it's not logarithmic, of course, it's polynomial, but it's like conjugate.
Yes.
So is this times?
We don't know that. Yeah. We don't know that about the Lie-Robinson bound, the extension we are proving, but we know that about the bound on the correlations.
You know it's the text, right?
Yes, but I will show this in the following, yeah. So that's it. Okay, so I continue. Now I will present the numerical results. So we are working with the quitase chain with long reach P wave pairing. We are working with a cyclic chain described by a Hamiltonian of 3 terms, where this corresponds to the Hopping term, this corresponds to the particle number term, where mu is the chemical potential, and this is the long-range contribution, where this corresponds to the distance between the sites I and I plus G, and alpha is the interaction exponent. And the distance is given by the minimum between G and L minus G because we are talking about a cyclic chain. We have chosen this model because of 2 main reasons. One is that it has a quantum phase transition at mu equal 1, and second, it's quadratic, and therefore we can diagonalize it and solve up to L equals 2000 or further fermions.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I have a question from the previous slide.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if it's quick.
Yeah, it's just which dimensions are you considering? Which spatial dimensions are you considering? Is there any dependence on the dimension of the space?
The dimension of the space?
Yes.
We are working with fermions.
Yes.
The local dimension should be 2?
The 2 means so 1-bit chain?
No, the physical dimension is any dimension.
I see, so it's I see.
So it's a general result for any dimension.
I see. I thought that these things have very strong dependence on the spatial dimensions.
Well, in this case, because we are talking about a concrete class of Hamiltonians, it doesn't. But we can talk about this after the finish, like a bit more detail.
Sure.
To continue.
Okay.
And a quick reminder here, just that quantum phase transitions occur only at the ground state, and typically for short-range interactions, you expect to have correlation that decay as a power law instead of exponentially, as they usually do in short-range interacting models. However, in long-range systems, this is not the case. They are a bit different. We are going to focus on density-density correlations, and that's why I was also mentioning density-density correlations before. And we are going to ask the same question here, which is how do the correlations behave as a function of the distance? In order to do that, we use Bogoliubov transformation to diagonalize the Hamiltonian, and we use the weak theorem to be able to express the correlations in an easy way. And we show the following. First, we see that the correlations decay asymptotically as the power law for any temperature and for any case, whether you are at criticality or you're not at criticality. That's why we express here the correlations as a proportional to a power law with an exponent mu. And we can see here that this corresponds to correlations versus distance in a double logarithmic plot, each one of them, for different values of the parameters alpha, which go from 0.5, 1 to 1.5, and different values for the temperature from the ground state that corresponds to solid lines to high temperature that corresponds to dotted lines, and different values of the chemical potential where the blue corresponds to mu equals 0.5, the orange line corresponds to mu equal 1, and mu equal 1.5 would be the green one. Here, the only thing you need to care about is that the orange solid line is the critical point, and the rest are not critical. So we observe that all these curves tend to a linear behavior, a straight line, except this bending over here, which are due to finite size effects, because we are, this corresponds to different system sizes, 500, 1000, and 2000, so 500, 1000, 2000. So the bending doesn't count. So asymptotically, we observe straight lines in any circumstance. Therefore, we extract the power law. And in this case, we were also interested on how this power law, how the exponent mu would depend on these different parameters, alpha in their interaction exponent alpha inverse temperature and chemical potential. So we studied that too. And we observed the following. Here, we have the plot of the exponent that characterizes the correlations decay and the interaction exponent. And we have two different behaviors. When you are at the phase transition, so solid orange line, we obtain that the exponent mu is always equal to 2, independently of alpha, kind of a universality behavior. But if we are not at the phase transition, we observe this behavior over here, where the exponent mu is equal to 2 up to alpha equal 1, and from there on is equal to 2 times alpha. And here I want to remark that we actually show an upper bound for the density correlation before, where they were upper bounded by a polynomial function, or a power law, with exponent 2 times alpha, which was the minimum exponent our bound allows. And we are actually observing that we obtain the minimum exponent that our bound allows. All this region over here, which is from alpha equal alpha bigger than 2, our bound only applies for alpha greater than 2d. All this region is forbidden by our bound. So our numerics show that our bound is actually tight. So this will be like the last result, and now I would like to summarize everything. So first, we have proven that for any fermionic system with two-sided long-range interactions, the correlation between anti-commutative operators decay at least polynomially. Second, we have seen that for quadratic Hamiltonian, this also applies to commutative operators, such as density-density correlations. And we have proven, or we have observed, that a concrete quadratic model has density-density correlations that decay as a polynomial asymptotic, where the decay exponent depends on the interaction decay and on the present, whether you are at the phase transition or you are not at the phase transition. And lastly, the numerics show that our bounds are actually tight. So we prove an analytical bound on the correlations that is actually tight. You can find more information about this in the publication in PRL in 2017. And I just want to thank you. So if you have any questions now, I'm just we're open to answer what they come.
So, so you say yes, you sure that the Abraham correlation is tight, but then why does this not mean that the Abrahamson bound you get is tight? Because one follows from the other. No? So, so if you had like a better Abrahamson bound, you would have a better bound in the correlations, no? Which clearly doesn't really, it's not possible. No? So then.
Yeah, the thing is that we are actually also having a bit, some selection in the bound. Like we make the proof with the bound of phosphoric, and then with the bound of phosphoric, we obtain some mathematical object. This object will depend on some time tau, which is the time that is separating the integral 1 from 0 to tau to the integral 2 from tau to infinity. A shorter time integral part. And the, so this tau is arbitrary. We can choose it arbitrary, so we minimize the upper bound. So I'm not sure whether, I'm not sure it's actually trivial because the way we derive this, but I don't see it right now.
So when you in this proof written this the correlations to the Abrahamson bound, is it clear that you need fermions for this? Like can it doesn't work for anything else? Even this black boson or is there like a key ingredient with fermions?
Well, I think that the things that we are actually extending from spins, and the things that bosons are complicated. Bosons are infinite dimension. I mean, they have infinite dimensional. So usually they come with a lot of terms like we didn't try, but I'm not sure whether we could actually do that with this specific.
I guess it was maybe you a silly example, but I mean, does this work for other systems that are fermions, or is it clear that it doesn't?
Well, the thing is that the bound that was proven originally by phosphoric is from spins. And then we extend it to fermions. So we actually are like covering spins and fermions, and the only thing left is bosons. So I think there's no other question than bosons.
Any other questions?
Maybe I have one. I'm a bit confused. When you introduced the Lie-Robinson bound, you mentioned that for short short range interaction, it is exponentially decay, and for long range interaction, it is power law decay.
Yeah.
Is that right? And later, when you mentioned about quantum phase transition, you said that for short range interaction, the correlation will be the correlation will be the interaction is the short range it's short for short range correlation for short range interaction it will be exponentially decay. So I'm it will be the power law decay. So I'm a bit confused about the correlation and the Lie-Robinson bound.
Okay, but Lie-Robinson bounds are not the same as correlations. We
yes.
use it as a tool to be able to bound an integral, which is a part of our bound for the correlations.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two things here that are different.
Yeah. So how to understand? What's the connection between these two? And why they are so different with different interaction, different range of interaction?
You mean like behaviors? Different range of behavior, polynomially versus exponentially?
I mean the connection between Lie-Robinson bound and correlation.
Okay.
maybe space-time correlation in general, not only a spatial correlation.
Well, in this case, that we are able to express the correlations in terms of an anti-commutator of two operators.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is time-evolved operator. And the Lyapunov-Robinson bounds bound this kind of anti-commutator. So we can use the Lyapunov-Robinson bounds to upper bound this quantity. But it's an upper bound. It's not like, it's not an equality. I only know that cannot be bigger, greater than this quantity, but I don't know anything else. So there's a kind of gray area where we cannot say much according to the, our results, and it's not like one-to-one relation.
Gracias, Miguel Ángel.